Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 14. The Yamaraj's Sankirtan performance from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur. We're continuing the Leela, and we left off yesterday that all the demigods have stopped in midair on their way, returning to their holy abodes in the celestial kingdom, and they left Navadvipa behind. And all the sages are there, Bhrigu Muni is dancing there, Kashyap Muni, Kardam, Daksha, Manu, Bhrigu, Narada. And so Narada is crying tears of love. Ganapati's there, Kartikeya, Shiva's dancing, Brahma's dancing, Yamaraj is dancing, everyone's dancing. Vastu, Sankirtan, Yoga, right? They're all dancing like this. So now we'll return to the dance, the sky dance. They have a sky party, dancing in the sky. We dance on the ground, and these demigods and rishis and sages from Tapalok and Brahmalok and Shivalok, Shiva's there. They're all dancing in the sky, and we're dancing on the ground, or at least sometimes. So now we'll hear more of the dance members. Chaitanyara Priyabritya Shukadeva Kari Nitya Bhaktira Mahima Shukajane Lotaya Pare Dule Jagai Madai Bhali Kari Bahudanda Pariname. Shukadeva Goswami, the beloved servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew the glories of bhakti, and he was also there chanting in the Sankirtan party. He started rolling in the dust. Then he offered obeisances while chanting the names of Jagai and Madhai. Nachayindra Sureshvara Mahavira Brajadara Apanare Karyanutap Sahasranayana Dhare Avirata Vahiryanare Safalahila Brahmashap. The powerful Indra who carries a thunderbolt and rules the demigods, He reproached himself as he danced. In other words, he was criticizing himself. Tears continually flowed from his 1,000 eyes, making the Brahmana's curse fruitful. So it's Gautam Muni, the history of Indra, of course, is he didn't always have eyes on his body. Very amazing story. But Indra has a habit of attacking different kingdoms and different sages and stealing their wives and queens. And he's a rather lusty demigod. So he once came to take the wife of Gautam Rishi. He actually disguised himself as Gautam Muni. But Gautam Muni's wife recognized that although Indra disguised himself just like Gautam, there was some difference in his behavior, so she perceived it. So Gautam Rishi cursed him. He said, "You're so much after my wife, so I curse you that your entire body becomes covered with vaginas." And that's not a very agreeable thing. This is in the Vedic literature, in the Puranas. So he fell at the feet of Gautam Rishi and offered so many prayers and begged him. He said, "This is not a very wonderful thing here." So Gautam Rishi, he said, "All right, you'll still have to, your body will still be covered, but it will be covered, those vaginas will turn into eyes. So whenever you see a painting of Indra, generally you see him on his arms and legs are so many eyes." So in this verse, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's saying that the curse became fruitful. He was cursed to have ultimately eyes all over his body, but now he's dancing in Yamaraja's Sankirtan party, chanting Hari, Hari, Hari. And from those 1,000 eyes that are spread all over his body, he's crying tears of love. So this is a good use of eyes. Our eyes are generally used for seeing or perceiving the world and for reading some books or information sources. but eyes that are used to cry tears of love, that would be considered a perfection of the possession of eyes. So he has 1,000 eyes, and from all his eyes, tears are rushing. So it's quite a downpour of tears. Because he was crying to see the pastimes of Gaurasundara. Prabhura Mahima Deki Indra Deva Bharasuki Garagari Jaya Paravas Kota Gela Brajasara Kotaya Kiritihara Ihare Se Bale Krishna Ras. Realizing Lord Gaurasundara's glories, Indra became most happy as he rolled about the ground without restraint. Where was his Vajra, his thunderbolt? And where were his crown and necklace? This is called ecstatic love for Krishna. It's Krishna Ras. In other words, he was rolling on the ground. So when you roll on the ground, he usually has a thunderbolt. So that he threw that to the side. His crown fell off. And his necklace fell off. He's simply rolling on the ground in great ecstasy, relishing the taste of Krishna's holy name during this Yamaraj's Sankirtan party. So when Yamaraj fell unconscious due to being amazed by this, being absorbed in love of God, Yamaraj fell unconscious. He was appreciating the affection and kindness of Lord Gauranga to deliver these two fallen and sinful Brahmins, Jagai and Madhai. So he was unconscious on his chariot, and then they chanted the holy name in his ear, and Yamaraj woke up, and he initiated a Sankirtan performance which inundated the entire celestial world. Everyone riding nearby him on their various chariots. Indra was returning from Mayapur going to Indraloka. Shiva was returning from Mayapur going to Shivaloka. And Brahma was going to Brahmaloka. And they all stopped their chariots. They down from their chariots. They surrounded Yamaraj's chariot. And then he stood up and started chanting and dancing, rolling on the ground. And everyone's chanting and dancing and rolling on the ground. Of course, we often have seen Sankirtan parties, but I've never seen any devotees rolling on the ground. I've seen in Mayapur and Navadvip, when the Bengali kirtaniers come there, sometimes, I don't know if it's rehearsed or rehearsed beforehand or what, but they're chanting and dancing very nicely, then some devotee will start rolling on the ground. And like, not like rolling like in gym class, you do somersaults or you roll like a ball, like they roll like this. It's like dandavats. They're lying on the ground like dandavats, and they rolling a rug or something like that, rolling up a dari. They just go toot 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 toot, you know, back stomach, back stomach, back stomach. They roll across the floor like this. They don't just tuck their neck under and do this type of forward rolls or whatever. But we had one devotee in our temple in Berkeley. He used to do that forward roll thing. He would step back and run and then roll across the middle of the kirtan party. We were young then, and he was also young and quite flexible, but now he's about 60, so I don't think he's doing that anymore. I don't think he's doing that anymore. So the demigods are quite cultured and prestigious. I mean, Indra is not a small personality. He's rolling on the ground due to the effect of tasting this rasa of Krishna consciousness, of chanting Krishna's name, and he's giving up all conceptions of prestige and position and power and eminence and fame and whatever he holds in his hand, and it's all dropped. All of those things are dropped off his mind, and even physically, the vajra that he's holding in his hand, the crown that's sitting on his head, and the mala, moti mala around his neck have all been thrown off. And the ecstasy of Krishna Nam Sankirtan party. So the main thing that gets thrown off or removed from us when we chant the holy name is our false ego, our false conceptions of who we are and what we are. They get thrown away, they get cast to the side. So in order for Indra to roll on the ground, can you imagine the Prime Minister of India coming to ISKCON, Juhu Beach, and there's a kirtani starts rolling on the ground? I mean, it's a little inconceivable. And he's only the prime minister of one puny, tiny little country. And Indra is the administrative chief of the entire universe. so powerful. So he's rolling on the ground. Now this is the effect of Krishna's name, that no matter how big we are, or how powerful we are, or how influential we are, if we really become absorbed in chanting the holy name of the Lord, and we really experience the rasa, as it's mentioned here, it says, Ihase, ihase se bali Krishna ras. This is, he was experiencing the taste of Krishna ras, the divine rapture of absorbing himself in Krishna's holy name. So then he forgot everything. He abandoned all his name, fame, gain, pratishta, puja, lobe, and the holy name was making him crazy practically. But he was enjoying. Chandra Surya Pavana Kubera Vani Varuna Nache Sabha Jata Lokapal Sebe Krishnera Britya Krishna Rase Kare Nirtya Dekya Krishnera Takural. After seeing the display of Krishna's glories as Mahaprabhu liberated the two fallen Brahmins, Jagai and Madhai, the predominating deities of the universe, Chandra, Surya, Pavan, Kuber, Vani, who is Agni, and Varuna, who were actually all servants of Krishna, sub-Krishna Britya, they danced in the ecstasy of love for Krishna. Krishna Rase Kare Nritya. So, just, no one is left out here. Everyone was there. All the major demigods. And when it's mentioned all the major demigods, that implies that all the minor demigods are also there. There's the Mukhya Devatas and Upadevas. There's something called Upadevas. Upadevas and Mukhya Devatas. So the Upadevas are the secondary demigods. And they must also be there. It's also accepted that way. Nache sabha devagan sabe ulasitaman choda bara na jani harishe kattahaya tela teli tabu sabe kutuhali nritya sukha krishna avesh. All the demigods danced in ecstasy and forgot who was inferior and who was superior. Although they jostled with each other, they were all jubilant as they danced in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So as we've mentioned before, they abandoned all their ideas of higher or lower. I'm a big, big demigod. I'm Brahma. I'm Shiva. You're only Varuna. You're Indra. You're small time. No, they were all harmonized and equalized in the name of the Lord. Because everywhere there's hierarchy. There's hierarchy among Shudras. One's a big Shudra, one's a small Shudra. There's hierarchy among Vaishyas. One's a big Vaishya, one's a small Vaishya. There's hierarchy among Kshatriyas. One's a big Kshatriya, one is a king of a small province. Another Kshatriya is a king of a country. Another Kshatriya is a king of the world. You know, like, there's so many Kshatriyas that were conquered by Hitler. So he was like a world king, a world ruler. But he had so many small kings. So there's so much hierarchy among Brahmanas. It's not all one. But in demigods, there's so much hierarchy. There's big, small, very powerful, extremely powerful, not so powerful, not so influential. But in the Kirtan party, everything was forgotten. It says the demigods danced and they forgot. Chota bara najani harishe. Nache sabha devagan sabha ulasitaman. Ulasitaman. Their minds were feeling so much ulas. Ulas. Their minds were uplifted, elevated, transported. Their minds were transported beyond all the upadis. Sarva upadi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmala rishikeshi rishikenam sevana bhakti uchate. This is the only way by which one can transform or transport their mind beyond upadis. Upadi means designations. I'm a big person. I'm the CEO, chief executive officer, or the MD, managing director. And even as we say in English, a pauper is proud of his penny. So even a person is poor, he thinks, actually, I'm poor, but I'm among the beggars on this street, I'm actually the richest. Because I have 45 rupees in my pocket. And I have at least 100 rupees under my pillow in my little shack. But all these other bakers, they only have 10 rupees in their pockets. So actually, I'm doing quite well. So even he's a poor beggar, but he thinks, actually, you know, I have a pair of chapels. I have 20 rupee chapels, but this other beggar, he doesn't have. So, you know, look, hey, come on, 20 rupee chapels. So the pride or dumba doesn't omit anyone. So this is Nupadi, that I'm good, I'm better, I'm special. So this name, Krishna's name in Sankirtan, is called mantra. Mantra. Man, mind. It says here, the man, ulasita man, sabe ulasita man. Sabe in Bengali means sub. Sub means everyone in Hindi. Sabe ulasita man. Man. Their minds became so much joyful by the influence of mantra. Nam Sankirtan, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is the way to uplift the mind. Ulasita means the mind becomes joyful. What is it? How can you describe ulas? What is ulas? Ulas is like this. I'll give you an example. We've spoken this before, but ulas is you're in at some kirtan in the temple. There's a kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And it's going on in a certain pace, certain tempo. And people are dancing, Hare Krishna, like samsara dava. And it's like, but then the tempo picks up. The tal, they say the tal, the beat. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo, Hare Bo. So then when they start saying Hare Bo, Hare Bo, then everyone starts jumping, and if there's a bunch of Bengali ladies there, they start making this high-pitched sound like peacocks, you know, this kind of thing. It's very pleasing to the Lord. He likes that. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party, all Malini and Shachimata and Vishnupriya, and the various wives of the Brahmins, they were in the inner quarters of Shivas' house while the men and their husbands were out in the courtyard engaging in Sankirtan. And they would also vibrate. It's called uluating, or that making that very ecstatic sound, which would heighten the ecstasy of the kirtan performers and very much please the Lord. So this is not some mundane thing. So when the tempo and the picks up and it becomes faster and faster, everyone starts jumping. Almost the whole group, it just becomes infectious. No one can stay flat-footed. No one can stay flat on their feet. They start jumping, getting on the edge of their feet and raising. So that's ulas. Ulas is that moment when you feel a certain amount of joy, the joy within the mind and heart extends to such a limit that you want to jump for joy. Oh, this is very good, very good. So that's ulas. So it says, sabe ulasita man ulasita. Their minds became so joyful by the influence of nam. So nam means mantra. Nam Sankirtan means mantra, and that's why is it mantra? Because this vibration, Krishna's holy name, this transcendental vibration, is the only vibration in all the creation which can actually elevate one's mind beyond, above and beyond the material conception of life. Above and beyond our material identifications. This is called Vinirmuktam. Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam. Tatparatvena Nirmalam. We become free from our designations. I'm not Indian. I'm not American. I'm not Punjabi, Sindhi, Bindi, Hindi, Krindi, Bindi. You know, I'm none of these things. May Jivatma hun. May Krishna Das hun. I am eternal servant of Krishna. So this is the Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam. Vishesh Mukti. Very special liberation. We'll get complete freedom from this misconception, this misunderstanding. It's a misconception to think I'm woman, man, this and that. And then what happens, the next installment of Nam Sankirtan, of mantra, is Nirmalam, Nirmal. The crowed, calm, crowed, lobe, maha, lust, greed, anger, all these ulterior motives and dirt and dust in the mind and consciousness, they will be marjan. They'll be cleansed and removed. And we become Nirmal. I don't mean soap powder. There's Nirmal soap powder, right? Nirmal. A little dancing girl on it. Nirmal. So when our mind becomes free from all dirt, which is mal, then we will dance. We'll be dancing boys and dancing girls. And not on the package of a soap powder either. It'll be real time and real experience and individual. So this is the demigods that are showing the way, that this is the way to become free from inferior. They forgot. Chota Bhara. This is big, small. Najani. Hey, they couldn't think. They couldn't understand or have idea. They were all jubilant as they danced in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So the big, the small, they all became ulas. They became one in ulas. One in Krishna ras, one in Krishna ulas. So they were tasting the ras of Krishna's holy name and responding by ecstatic dancing or rolling on the ground. And their minds were elevated, transported to the spiritual dimension. Sabe ulati ulasitaman. Nache Prabhu Bhagavan Ananta Janharanam Vinata Nandana Kari Sange Sakala Vaishnava Raj Palana Janhara Kaj Adideva Seha Nache Range. Lord Ananta, Bhagavan Ananta, Anantadev, in the company of Garuda, the son of Vinata, he danced. Thus Adidev, the best of the Vaishnavas and the maintainer of all, also danced in ecstasy. Vaishnavaraj, the best of the Vaishnavas. So Garuda was there. Very interesting that Anantashesh is a big snake, transcendental snake, Bhagavan Ananta, 1,000 mouths. And Lord Vishnu or Ananta, his Vimana is an eagle, Garuda. And the food for eagles is snakes. So Garuda often eats snakes, but he doesn't eat his Lord. Garuda is a Viman for Vishnu, and Ananta, Bhagavan Ananta is Vishnu, Narayan, in the form of cobra holding up the universe and rendering so many services to Krishna. So this is the paradox, that seeming contradictions are all harmonized into a friendly unity with the Absolute Personality of Godhead. This looks like a contradiction. The eagle eats, and Garuda does eat snakes. He does eat snakes, indeed. And Kaliya was very worried about Garuda. So Kaliya, he was living in Fiji, and Kaliya, Garuda was coming there regularly eating snakes for lunch. And Kaliya went from there, and he went to the Yamuna, because he had heard in the evening news in Fiji, he had heard that Shobari Rishi was doing austerities in the Yamuna, and he had cursed Garuda that if he comes to the Yamuna to eat any water snakes, then he will die. So Kaliya thought, this is a good place, I'm a water snake, so if I go there and live in the Yamuna and Vrindavan, then Garuda won't eat me. So then, of course, at Leela Zara, Krishna danced on his hoods. And then he blessed Kaliya, because ultimately Kaliya surrendered, so Krishna blessed him by leaving the imprint, the Charna Rekha, or the line, the outline of Krishna's foot. The imprint was left on his head, because Sobari Rishi, he succumbed to lust, and his power to curse, that was his downfall, because he cursed the great Vaishnava. So he inappropriately used his tapabalam to curse Vishnu's Viman, Garuda, and as a result of that, he was forced to give up his yogic austerities and marry the 50 daughters of King Mandata in Lohavan, across from the Yamuna, in Vrindavan. So there was no more binding power of Shobari Rishi, because he was off in the Grihastha Ashram. So now Kali was wondering, I might get eaten by the Garuda. But then Krishna said, don't worry, my feet are on your head. So if Garuda comes here for lunch, he will spare you, because you have my marks. You have my tilak. Just like the tilak spares us from the grasp of the Yamadutas. In the Padma Puran, Yamaraj is having a discussion. It's also in Bhagavat Puran. But the Yamadutas, when they're talking about Dharma, in relation to the Ajamil story, So then Yamaraj says, you go and you take, you collect everyone that doesn't have a tilak on their forehead. They don't, and they don't wear, they don't have tulsi bees on their necks. These, this tulsi, you should collect them. They are suitable candidates for a short-term visit to Yamaraj, to me. But if someone's wearing tilak and neck beads, then you have to spare them. So this is some special compensation. Of course, it doesn't give license to incorrect behavior, but so we also have the marks of Vishnu on us. So Garuda or the anyone, Garuda won't carry us away because we're not really snakes, although we may be snaky. And we may have some snake-like qualities of envy, but we don't have the form of snakes, so he won't eat us. But the main thing is we're not so worried about Garuda, but we're more worried about Yamaraj and the Yamadutas. So the Vishnu marks on our forehead, which are the feet. Actually, that's the same thing. The tilak represents the footprint of Krishna. It's told like that. Sometimes it says the right-hand side is Brahma, the left-hand side is Shiva, and then the middle portion is Vishnu, and the tulsi leaf represents Vrindavan. It's like Krishna or Vrindavan, spiritual world. This is tulsi. It's called Tulsi Dara Tilak. Our tilak is called Tulsi Dara. We're holding the leaf of tulsi on our nose. So Indra's dancing, and all these demigods are dancing. Ananta's there. He's also dancing. It's quite interesting. You see sometimes in Vrindavan, the snake charmers come with these baskets, and they have cobras in the basket. They come from Rajasthan, and they open them, hit the cobra, and he comes like this. And they play this, like, Chennai type thing. Like this, and they go wah 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 wah. You know, the cobras go like this and like this and like this. You seen? They always like to show Westerners. That's always a great thrill for Westerners. I've seen thousands of times. Shankar Bhagavan, Anantashesh. So then, you can understand that Anantashesh, he's in this form. He's not with two arms and two legs, and he's like this, and he's also dancing. So he's up in the sky, all the demigods are up in the sky, and Ananta's assembled there, and he's going like, you know, like however they dance. And so he's dancing in the Sankirtan. It's too much unbelievable, this whole thing, actually. Ajam Bhava Narada Shukadi Jatadev Ananta Vedya Sabinache Gorachandra Avatar Brahma Daitya Udhar Sahasra Bharane Gaya Maje. The demigods headed by Brahma, Shiva, Narada, and Shukadev all danced around Ananta as he sang with his thousand mouths the glories of Gorachandra, who had just delivered the two Brahmana demons, Jagai and Madai. So this is it's like ring around the May pole or something, I forget. Some, when you're a kid, you know, they have some pole and you dance around the pole. So it's Anantashesh like this, and Shukadev and Indra, everyone's running around Anantashesh and dancing. Like sometimes you see the in the temples, one devotee will be in the center, like maybe the kirtan leader's in the center, then everybody else is running around, you know, going around him, and he's just leading, or the guru may be there dancing, everyone's going like that. So this is a beautiful sight to see in our meditation. Because if you invoke all these personalities in your mind, because our mind is filled with all kinds of personalities, like wives and husbands and girlfriends and boyfriends, and, you know, who knows who, but if we can think, we try to think of Shukadeva Goswami in our minds, and Anantashesh in our minds, and Brahma and Shiva, then our minds become sanctified by that thought. And Padma Purana goes so far to say that if you remember, if you think about a great soul, a great Mahabhagavat, or a great guru or avatar or incarnation of the Lord, simply thinking about them, and then 1/6 it's talking about personalities on our own plane, like some great ascended master or some great Siddha saint. If you think of them, you just think of them and pray to them, then it says that 1/6 of their piety will come in your heart, come in your mind. Your thinking will attract their Sukriti. Sukriti Karshan. You actually pull you'll pull their secreti, will come into your account. It's like sometimes these crack computer wallahs, they go on the computer and they figure out how to crack your bank account. And then they take money out of your, big time, sometimes millions of dollars out of Citibank. And some little kid did this one time in America. He cracked the code and he withdrew all the money and put it in his bank, millions of dollars. And of course he got caught, or he did get caught. So this is, how is this going on? So it's all by electronic technology and whatnot. But it happens. So in the same way, we draw some sukriti from the bank account of these great souls, and it gets deposited into our sukriti account, and the result of that deposit is we become more purified, we become more spiritually inclined and more adept at our own practices. So the conclusion is that it's a good idea to think good thoughts about good people. And the reverse, the converse of that is also true, that when you think of bad people, or you think about the bad qualities in bad people, then those qualities actually come into us. Thinking brings them about. So we have to, as every Shastra will tell us, we have to control our thinking. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vedam. This manasa vegam, the pushings of the mind, have to be controlled by higher thoughts. It's all about thoughts. We live in a world of thoughts. This is a ever-present activity of the human being, is thinking. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Manana, bhavana, and kriya, willing. So itching, itcha means desire, thinking, feeling, desiring, or willing, action, kriya. So this, we're always thinking something. We are observers of the thought world. We are actually thought witnesses. We the jiva, we the individual jiva, the shakshi within the body, the kshetragya. Krishna says in the 13th chapter of the Gita, there's something called kshetragya. The knower, the kshetra, this body is a kshetra, and there's a knower. Of course, there's a higher knower, the supersoul. But we are the inferior knower of this body. So we observe, we are the observer of the thoughts, the flow of thoughts. So many thousands. That's why the yoga is always telling us, become ekagrata, ekagrata. Become one-pointed, samadhi. Collect everything, collect the intelligence on one point. Collect all the thoughts. And yoga shastras, it's actually called pratyahara. Pratyahara means collecting the thoughts, letting go of useless thoughts, just let them fly out of your mind and collect the good ones and concentrate them into 10 good ones into one perfect one. And make one perfect thought in the mind and concentrate that perfect thought and then go deeply into that perfect thought, and that's what is called ekagrata. So when we wake up and the thoughts start flying, and we're sleeping, so many thoughts are there. The thoughts are carrying us in the subtle body to various escapades and dreams, and unbelievable happenings in the dream. This person mixes it all. And then we wake up, then there are all the thoughts. So that we have to catch different thoughts. Thousands of thoughts come into our brain, and we have to catch different ones and move with that. So yoga is the art of thought channeling the thoughts, directing the thoughts to a positive direction. So when our thoughts are taking us to a negative direction, into fault-finding, gossiping, criticizing, envious thinking, angry thinking, lusty thinking, these are all counterproductive. They are debilitating and weakening the position of one who's attempting to make spiritual advancement. So we replace the bad thoughts with good thoughts. So this is some ideas about that mental realm. So they're all dancing around Ananta. Keha kande, keha hase, deki maha parakashe, kela murcha paya sehi tani. Keha bale bala bala, gora chandra takorala, danya danya jagai madhai. Some demigods cried Some laughed and some fell unconscious due to seeing the wonderful exhibition of Lord Gauranga liberating Jagai Madhai. And others were remarking to each other, how wonderful are the glories of Gaurachandra. How fortunate are Jagai and Madhai. Nritya Gita Kolahale, Krishna Yasha Sumangale, Purna Haile Sakala Akash, Mahajaya Jayadwani, Ananta Brahmande Shuni, Amangala Sabha Gela Nash. The entire universe was filled with the auspicious sounds of dancing and chanting in glorification of Krishna. The sound of Jai Jai was heard throughout the innumerable universes, thus vanquishing all inauspiciousness. Satyaloka Adijini, Utila Mangala Dwani, Swarga Martya Purila Patala, Brahma Daitya Udara, Vai Nahi Shuni Ara. Prakata Gauranga Takarala. The auspicious sounds were heard in Patala Loka, which is below us, and Martya Loka, Swarga Loka, and it went as high as Satya Loka. As nothing other than the pastime of delivering the Brahman demons could be heard, the glories of Gauranga were clearly revealed. Now, this is a galactic pastime. This is a pastime that is being expanded all over the universe. It's not just a small dance in the corner of Mumbai somewhere, in some little disco, on some little street. A group of people, 200 people, are dancing. And there's five musicians and some waitresses and waiters, and people are dancing. This pastime is influencing and spreading throughout the whole universe. The fame of Gauranga, and still it's reverberating. We're part of that fame of Gauranga, that glory of Gauranga. Prakat Gauranga Takarala, that the manifestation of Gauranga's glories are happening right here in this very place, in this very room, in our very ears and hearts, in our very lives are being transformed by the glories of Gauranga. Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Hina Mahabhagavata Sabha Deva Ganajata Krishna Veshi Chali Lena Pure Gauranga Chandhara Yasha Binayara Kona Rasa Kahara Badane Nahispore. All the Mahabhagavat demigods were filled with love for Krishna as they returned to their respective abodes. They did not speak about anything other than the glories of Lord Gauranga. Jaya Jagat Mangala Prabhu Gora Chandra Jaya Sarva Jiva Lokanath Udarila Karunate Brahma Daitya Jaina Mate Sabha Pratikara Dristipat. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, the benefactor of the entire universe. Jagat Mangala. All glories to the Lord of all planets and living entities. Please glance mercifully on everyone in the same way that you delivered the Brahman and demons. Sabha Pratikara Dristipat. So the author of the book, Vrindavandas Thakur, is invoking the compassionate mercy of Lord Chaitanya that you deliver these two brahmanas, Jagai and Madhai. Because you glanced on them, your glance of mercy, your kripa drishti, fell on them, and you accepted them and gave them your anugraha. So what about us? What about the rest of us poor souls in the universe? Can you also glance upon us? So basically he's winding up this chapter with this last verse. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Samsara Taraka Dhanya Patita Pavana Dhanyavan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chanda Prabhu Brindavana Dasa Gunagan. All glories to Sri Chaitanya, the glorious savior of the fallen souls, deliver the entire world. I, the author, Brindavan Das, sing the glories of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So this is the end of Yamaraja's Sankirtan, which spread throughout the universe, and we can have different responses to hearing of this Harikatha of 57 verses in this chapter. One response is, I don't believe it. That's the obvious one. Another response is, it's highly exaggerated. Even if it may be happened, but not like this. And it's highly exaggerated. Or another response is, it's all just made up to, it's just a contrived story to bring to proclaim the glories of Harinam Sankirtan, to show that it's really a good thing. Everyone's buying it. Everyone's buying it. You should buy it too. It's a sales technique. Do you know that the Prime Minister wears these clothes, this type of pants? Not only the Prime Minister, but Mr. XYZ and ABC and all these different alphabetical people. You know, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mrs. D, Mrs. E. They all wear these clothes. Oh, really? They do too. Because that's how they try to endorse various products. They have a big signboard, or they call it hoarding, and shows some guy brushing his teeth with Colgate. And he was a previous luminary in the cinema world. Now he's pushing toothpaste. And you're saying, wow, if this great fallen movie star is pushing this toothpaste, and I surely should buy Colgate Blue Gel toothpaste because it's endorsed by my former favorite movie star. So it's an advertising technique. So this is simply Vrindavan Das is trying to advertise the glories of Nam Sankirtan and saying, do you know that Chandra's doing it? Everyone's doing it. Why don't you do it? Really, Shiva chants Hari Ram, and he does Nam Sankirtan, and Brahma and Indra and Suri and all my favorite superheroes, all my favorite superhero demigods. I mean, they're endorsing this product. They're not only chanting Nam Sankirtan, but they're rolling on the ground like babies. Babies roll on the ground, right? But do adults roll on the ground? They walk. They have 2 feet and they walk on them. But babies have 2 feet and they roll on their bellies until they can crawl. Then they crawl on their hands and legs. So the demigods are rolling on the ground like babies. And they're crying. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. They're crying. What is it? Babies also cry. So the demigods are acting like babies, rolling on the ground and crying. Right? But this is an advertising campaign. This is an advertising technique. Vrindavan Das Thakur is going to this extent. He's going to this extent to encourage us to chant Krishna's name. It takes that much to get us going. Well, I don't really want to chant, but really, Shiva's chanting? Brahma's chanting? Ganesh? You described in this chapter that Ganesh, my lord, my Ganapati, he's chanting? He's rolling on the ground, he's playing kartals and mridanga, playing mridanga with his trunk. Tong, 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 tong. You know, so fast. You know. And Kartikeya and Shukadeva and all the Kasyap. I'm in Kasyap Gotra. And the forefather, founding father of my Gotra, Kasyap Muni, he's chanting Hare Krishna in Iskan Juhu. And Kartav Muni, he's also going on the Sankirtan party down to Queen Victoria Station? Victoria Station. He's down there chanting Hare Krishna. Kartav Muni, Kasyap, Shukadev. Yeah, impossible. I don't believe it. This is just the author's license, poetic license. Authors can write anything. It's fiction. This is not a documentary. This is not National Geographic. This is not a college textbook. This is a highly exaggerated nonfiction story woven and sewn together just to convince us to chant this Maha Mantra. Whatever it is, if it works and makes you chant Hare Krishna, then that's very good. But from our viewpoint, from the devotee's viewpoint, that Vedavyas is the literary incarnation of Krishna at the very beginning of the end of Dwapara Yuga. And that same Vedavyas came again 500 years ago as the son of Narayani, Mata. And his name is Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Vedavyas did not lie to us about the glories of Ramachandra in the ninth canto. And Vedavyas did not lie to us about the glories of Krishna in the tenth canto. And Vedavyasa did not lie to us about Ajamil and Prahlad Maharaj. And he's not lying to us about the glories of the demigods in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which he has also written in his incarnation or descent as Vrindavan Das Thakur. It is absolutely perfect, it is absolutely true, and if we accept it, that will benefit us. If we reject it, then nothing gained. And if we get inspired by this enthusiastic participation of the demigods in Nam Sankirtan, then we can also increase our enthusiasm for the same activity. And in this case, we could try to follow in their footsteps, anusaran. Anusaran means follow in the footsteps. And we can also dance euphorically in the Sankirtan party, in Nam Sankirtan. And maybe someday we'll qualify to dance with the devas. Dance with the devas. We'll become qualified to dance with the devatas. Our own devatas. Now we're saying, oh, Ganapati, please take this puja. Today's your puja day. I came to your temple. This is Tuesday, and you helped me get through my high school exams, and you were so kind to me, and you arranged for me to get accepted in Harvard University, and my uncle paid for my education. This is all Ganapati Prasad. You're so kind to me, and I can never forget you, and I always keep my Tuesday fast, and always wherever I am in this world, if I go to America to seek my fortune, I will worship you there, and I'm dedicated to you. But now to think that our Lord Ganapati, he's like getting down in the Nam Sankirtan party, then we can think, Ganesh, maybe someday you and I will have a kirtan party together. You and I will square off in the kirtan party. You'll play mridanga and I'll play kartals. And we'll dance and we'll roll on the ground together, you and me. Just imagine embracing Ganapati and rolling on the ground chanting, Hudivol, Hudivol, Hudivol. So this is the invitation of Vrindavan Das Thakur. You love Ganapati, very nice. He's chanting Harinam, so why don't you follow your Ishtadev? And you can dance with the devas in the Harinam party. So this is the truth. And Shiva dances. Everyone knows he dances, but no one wants to see that dance. It's called Tandava Nritya. That's when it's like, it's all over, Jack. Everything's finished. But this dance, this is a dance of bliss. This is a dance of joy. This is a dance of elevation and blessing to see Shiva dancing in Nam Sankirtan party. Of course, maybe we'd be a little shy to see him because his clothes fall off. It's described that he was Digambara. He's dancing with no clothes. So maybe that's only men allowed and that no ladies allowed in that Sankirtan party. And it's only describing here. We don't know about what the devis are doing. It's only all these are male personalities dancing here. So this is a boys' club, you could say. It's only the male demigods. Of course, they all have their wives and shaktis and counterparts, but they've gone in the ladies' compartment on the train, and they have a separate compartment. So we can assume they're also dancing, but a little bit, you know, shyness is there, so we don't want to describe that Durga's rolling on the ground, and because it wouldn't look good. It's not good for her sari and, you know, get all dirty and stuff. So, well, they're dancing in their own way. You can assume that. All these Mahabhagavat rishis, they're all Deva rishis. Kasyap, Kardam, they're all married, at least at one time or another. Otherwise, they couldn't have a gotra. Kashyap couldn't have a gotra if he was a Vairagi sadhu. But they're Deva rishis. They're great Vaishnavas and fantastically powerful Vaishnavas, but they also have a dynasty. So I think that concludes today's class. If there's any comments or questions, because this chapter concludes the next chapter, which we'll initiate tomorrow by the mercy of the Lord. It's descriptions of Madhavananda's realizations. So it's interesting that even in, there's these heroes, the two basic heroes of the last two chapters were always being referred to as Jaghai and Madhai. Because that was the, you can say, the nickname that was given to them by the citizens of Navadvip. It was kind of an insulting name. What do you say? I can't think of the right phrase. Derogatory name. Like, oh, you know, there's goofball or something. There's goofball. Oh, yeah, that's not nice to call someone goofball. His name is Sunil, but that goofball. You know. Goofball. It's an American slang. It means mork or stupid. Poggle. You say poggle. So their names got reduced because of their sinful activities. They were born Brahmins, and their name was Jagannanda and Madhavananda. So all through these last 2-3 chapters describing their leela of their liberation by Lord Chaitanya and freedom from all their sins and their acceptance into Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party of pure devotees and pure worshippers of the holy name, they're always referred to as Jagai Madai, Jagai Madai. But now they've been restored to their former glories as Brahmanas, and now they're pure Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And this next chapter is called Descriptions of Madhavananda's Realizations. Of course, Madhavananda is a name for Bhagavan. And this is the Madhai, the same Madhai, the brother of Jagai, who broke the pot of wine. They were drinking wine from a clay pot. They finished it and broke it. Then he threw it at Nityananda and cracked his head and cut his head and drew blood from Nityananda's head. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to the scene and the Vishnu within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya is Sarva Avatari. All the avatars are within him. Das Avatar, Vaibhav Avatars, Leela Avatars, Prabhav Avatars, Manvantar, all avatars are within him. So when he's acting as Vishnu to restore Dharma and destroy miscreants, Parichranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. Duskritam Vinash. So when the Lord acts to kill the Duskritis or the Pashandis or the demons, the Asuras, then he acts in that capacity as Narayan or Vishnu. This Aishwarya Mahi Bhagavan, the all omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Lord. So then Lord Chaitanya went there, and then without even, he was so angry. What is this? You struck my brother's head, Nityananda's head. I'll kill you. And then as soon as he thought that, then the chakra appeared on the end of his finger, Vishnu's chakra. And he was about to throw it, to cut the head off, to sever the head from the body of Madhai. And Nittai says, stop! Spare him! Destroy his demoniac mentality, but allow him to live and proclaim the glories of your divine mercy as Patita Pavanavatar. You are Patita Pavanavatar for Kali Yuga. But if you kill him, how are you delivering him? Deliver him! Purify him, accept him, and remove all his sins. So on the petition of Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya did that. And that's how the pastime began. So they were delivered. Now, starting tomorrow, we're going to hear the realizations of Madhai, who actually threw the pot. And he was the most heinous offender. And now he's back to being Madhavananda Das. And we'll hear his realizations tomorrow. Does anyone have any questions? He said two things are going on. In a Gaudiya Vaishnava sadhak, one who is practicing the sadhana of bhakti yoga, he is actively controlling his senses. He's cultivating, there's two things going on. He's simultaneously cultivating attachment to Krishna, because that attachment, his attachment to Krishna is a byproduct of his purification. Purification is gained or derived or acquired by practicing the limbs of devotion. So that's the attachment side. Now the detachment, which he's practicing simultaneously, is that he's willfully following yama and niyama, rules and regulations, which contain his attachments and reduce his attachments. He may be attached to eating onions and garlic. He has that attachment, even though he's vegetarian from birth. But now he comes in, this is a niyam, he's prohibited, and he promises, yes, I will not eat onions and garlic. So by that practice of repeatedly acting on the basis of his sankalpa, then he gradually becomes detached. Because Krishna, when he tells in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna says it's impossible to control the mind is so attached to so many objects and so many activities. How can we control the mind? It's more difficult to control than the wind. And Krishna says, yes, you can control by constant practice. So we become, as you were saying correctly, I agree with what you were saying, that we can't become detached till we become attached. But it's not like we just get attached and then we get detached. They actually are going on simultaneously. Because the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, which we submit to and accept as our vidhi, it's a rule. Vidhi, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, or vaidhi sadhana bhakti yoga, or bhakti abhyas, this is a practice. We have to practice this. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, taking darshan of Krishna, doing production of Thakurji, Tulsi, etc., serving Vaishnavas, only eating Krishna prasad. All these are the practices of sadhana. And by practicing these things, we're contacting the Supreme. We're contacting God. And that contact purifies us. And when we're purified, we increase and increase and uncover our original eternal attachment to Krishna. So attachment is, we're building our attachment at every moment. Our attachment to Krishna is increasing at every moment. And that's automatically, because we're getting more and more pure, then that purity removes our attachment. We're getting attached to Krishna and we're getting detached from everything that's non-Krishna. At the same time, to help us and to hasten us in our detachment process, we're following a group of rules and regulations. Rising early. We're attached to sleeping, but the force of the order of the guru, which is a vidhi. Vidhi means a rule which has force behind it. And sharanagati means to surrender to the vidhi. Surrender to the rule. Yes, I must get up at 4, although I want to sleep till 8. So I'm attached to sleeping. But we become detached because we follow rules. So detachment is happening automatically, and attachment is happening automatically by the process of bhakti sadhana. This is how it works. We're working on our detachment and we're working on our attachment simultaneously. As far as the nitya karma, this is all within the realm of varnashram dharma. You know, Brahminical nitya karma and Kshatriya nitya karma, they differ according to one's varna. But Krishna is telling in Bhagavatam, in 11th canto, in Uddhava Gita, and other places, that if one abandons his nitya karma and he simply absorbs himself in bhakti sadhana, then there's no fault, there's no dosh, and there's no reaction. Because bhakti is totally transcendental. So if one ignores his nitya karma and he doesn't follow these niyamas and niyamas of his varna, because he's absorbed in bhakti sadhana, then everything will be resolved. Everything will be taken care of automatically because bhakti is the highest principle. Even the limbs of karma or the actions of karma or the actions of jnana, if they're not mixed with some aspect of bhakti, they don't give any fruit. So bhakti has to be mixed in there. So when one is doing ananya bhakti means that he's totally fixed on the bhakti marg, then automatically he's achieving everything that could, everything and more that could be achieved by his nitya karma on the path of jnana or karma. If one is absorbed in the bhakti marg, then he doesn't really have to worry or consider so much about this nitya karmas. Because bhakti itself is all-inclusive, because we have our yamas and niyamas, which are all connected to Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme purifier and the supreme prophylactic agent. So we won't fall down, we won't get reaction, nor will we get punished for ignoring our nitya karmas that are prescribed in a particular varna if we take to the path of bhakti. But if one is not on the bhakti path, then he gets reaction or punishment or even sin if he neglects his nitya karma, which is what you're discussing. This is the beauty of bhakti, because bhakti itself is totally transcendental, whereas nitya karma is not transcendental. Nitya karma is meant to elevate one to transcendence. It's a means to transcendence, whereas bhakti, as soon as you contact bhakti, you're transcendental from that initial moment. But you cannot. But also on a bhakti path, say you're a born Brahmin, and you're 11 years old, 10 years old, you have Brahman Upanayanam, Vishnu Upanayanam mantra, Brahma Gayatri. You can continue the nitya karma along with bhakti. It's not an offense to bhakti either. But at a certain point, you'll realize that that it's not necessary anymore. But generally, this particular tree, Sandhya Vandanam, well, we will keep doing that, because in the Bhakti Marg, we're also initiated in Pancharatrika Mantras. And Pancharatrika Mantras are for all Varnas. The Brahma Gayatri is only for Brahmins or Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. But Pancharatrika Mantras, Gopal Mantra, Guru Mantra, therefore Sudras, Yavanas, anyone can get these mantras, because they're from Narada Pancharatra. But Brahma Gayatri is only for the Aryans. That means the Brahmin, by Brahmin, born as a Brahmin or a Kshatriya Vaishya. Shudras, Indian-born Shudras, are not entitled to Brahma Gayatri. But Pancharatrika Mantras are for everyone. So therefore, when one receives Pancharatrika Mantras, it's also enjoined on the Bhakti Marg. He has to chant them 3 times a day. So he's trained in Nitya Karma to chant the Brahma Gayatri 3 times a day. So he keeps doing it. Plus he chants his Pancharatrika Mantras that he's received through in the Bhakti Marg. So you see, there can be a blend. You can continue your Nitya Karmas and at the same time do your bhakti. But as the bhakti progresses and your realization increases, you understand selectively what nitya karmas are unnecessary and pratikul to shuddha bhakti and which ones are anukul. And of course, guru is there to guide you. Shiksha guru and diksha guru. Bhakti is supreme. Sometimes people denigrate bhakti. They say bhakti is less than karma and jnana, but this is misunderstanding. Karma and jnana are stepping stones to bhakti. It's not that bhakti, they present it the other way around, that bhakti is a stepping stone, it's for sentimentalists and women and shudras. Mamhi partevya pashritya yepi shu papayonia striyo vaishyastata sudras tepi yanti parangatim. In the 8th chapter of Gita, Krishna says that if you surrender unto me, woman, this, that, the other thing, you can attain the supreme destination. But bhakti is not a stepping stone of karma and jnana. Bhakti is the supreme path, the highest path. Thank you for your question. Srila Prabhupada ki.